something I never found. Trying to find 6 feet underground. Under the weight of all of my sin. Fighting the fight that I couldn't win. And you ran. Good evening, everyone, and welcome to the Trim Radio Network and Life Walk with Christ God. And you can come on over to the Trim Radio Network, where we broadcast live all over the world. We have some great merchandise, and we'd love to see you in it. And it helps us stay on the air. So come and shop some of our wonderful merchandise that's available out there, especially right before Christmas time. Anyway, if you want to be a part of our Trim Radio Network team, all you have to do is message us, and we'll show you how easy it is to do. The opinions expressed by my host, co-host, guest, myself, and others is not necessarily that of the Trim Radio Network, its owners, managers, or others. And any information shared by us is not to be considered to be used as advice. We inform, we don't advise, and that includes any medical and professional information as well. We have a call-in number, 803-866-1667. Call in, give us your opinion. I'd love to hear it. And listen, we're going through some troubles and everything else. No better time to call in, and you know what? I'm always an open ear. I'm always here to listen, especially during the holidays and everything else that's going on. And, you know, we're just going to try to take this walk together and try to bring a little bit of peace of mind at the beginning of the week. We're right here at the hardest time of the year, and it's the best time and should be celebrated the best. And also, this song right here, wonderful song. Dead Man Walking, covered by Jeremy Camp, and that is covered under our VMI music license, 6105-1658. And without further ado, let's get to it, and let's talk about where we were at, guys, and real simple. Last week, and of course, I had missed a little bit, and we caught back on up, but we are getting into Old Testament, the Book of Ruth. I absolutely love this book. This is another, there's just so many great books in the Bible, but this is one that I truly enjoy. And it's just a fantastic read. So, tell you what, we got our book open. It's page 318. Like I said, chapter 1, Book of Ruth. And so many great things to go on. And you're just going to love it. I have a feeling you're going to love it as much as I do. And I'm just, I get so excited about reading some of these wonderful books. But here we go. Ruth need to remain with Naomi. Now it came to pass in the days when the judges ruled that there was a famine in the land. And a certain man of Bethlehem, Judah, went to sojourn in the country of Moab, he and his wife and his two sons. And the name of that man was Elimelech. And the name of his wife, Naomi. And the name of his two sons, Mahlon and Chilion, Ephrathites of Bethlehem, Judah. And they came to the country of Moab and continued there. And Elimelech, Naomi's husband, died. And she was left, and her two sons, they took them wives of women of Moab, and the name of the one was Orpah, and the name of the other, Ruth. And they dwelled there about 10 years. And Mahlon and Chilion died also, both of them, and the woman was left of her two sons and her husband. Ruth's opportunity to leave Naomi. Here we are, chapter 1, verse 6. So she's with her mother-in-law, obviously, or her daughter-in-law, and, absolutely just wonderful what's going on. She arose with her daughters in the law that she might return from the country of Moab. For she had heard in the country of Moab how that the Lord had visited his people and giving them bread. Wherefore she went forth out of the place where she was, and her two daughters-in-law with her. And they went on their way to return unto the land of Judah. And Naomi said to her two daughters-in-law, Go, return each to her mother's house. The Lord deal kindly with you, as you have dealt with the dead and with me. The Lord grant you that you may find rest, each of you, in the house of her husband. Then she kissed them, and they lifted up their voice and wept. And they said unto her, Surely we will return with thee unto thy people. And Naomi said, Turn again, my daughters. Why will you go with me? Are you yet any more sons in my womb, that they may be your husbands? Turn again, my daughters, go your way. For I am too old to have a husband. If I should say, I have hope, if I should have a husband also tonight, and should also bear sons, would ye tarry for them till they were grown? Would ye stay with them from having husbands? Nay, my daughters, for it giveth me much for your sakes that the hand of the Lord is gone out against me. And they lifted up their voice and wept again. And Orpah kissed her mother-in-law, but Ruth clave unto her. And she said, Behold, thy sister-in-law is gone back to her people and unto her gods. Return thou now after thy sister-in-law. Verse 16, chapter 1. And Ruth said, Entreat me not to leave thee, or return from the following after thee. For whither thou goest, I will go. And where thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people, and thy God my God. Where thou diest, I will die, and there I will be buried. And the Lord do so to me, and more also, if it ought be, but death part thee and me. And when she saw that she was steadfastly minded to go with her, then she left speaking unto her. So they went until they came to Bethlehem. And it came to pass, when they were come to Bethlehem, all that the city was moved about them. They said, Is this Naomi? And she said unto them, Call me not Naomi, call me Mara, for the Almighty has dealt very bitterly with me. I went out full, and the Lord hath brought me home again empty. Why then call me Naomi, seeing that the Lord testifieth against me, and the Almighty hath afflicted me? So Naomi returned, and Ruth, the Moabitess, her daughter-in-law, with her, which returned out of the country of Moab, they came to Bethlehem in the beginning of barley harvest. So all these things are going on, and they've had to deal with death. They've had to deal with, okay, the husband is gone, you know, everything's gone. One leaves, but one stays. So Ruth stayed. And of course, Naomi said, No, you need to go. Come on. I'm old. This is going on. You need to go. And it just didn't happen that way. And she decided that she wanted to stay. So that's exactly what happened. And now she's with her. And of course, they went back to Bethlehem. And here we are, chapter 2, Boaz meets Ruth. And Naomi had a kinsman of her husband's, a mighty man of wealth, of the family of Elimelech. And his name was Boaz. And Ruth and the Moabitess said unto Naomi, Let me now go to the field and glean ears of corn after him whose sight I shall find grace. And she said unto her, Go, my daughter. And she went and came, and she gleaned in the field after the reapers. And her hap was to light on the part of the field belonging unto Boaz, who was of the kindred of Elimelech. And behold, Boaz came from Bethlehem and said to the reapers, The Lord be with you. And they answered him, The Lord bless thee. Then Boaz said unto his servant, That was set over to the reapers, Whose damsel is this? And the servant that was set over the reapers answered and said, It is the Moabitish damsel that came back with Naomi out of the country of Moab. And she said, I pray you, let me glean and gather after the reapers among the sheaves. So she came and hath continued, even from the morning until now. She has tarried a little in the house. So she's out there. She's doing what she's doing, reaping in the field from what was sown prior and working hard. And she's not playing around. She has been hard at it. And she's gotten noticed. So now Boaz, who's in charge of the field, has taken notice of her. Then Boaz said unto Ruth, "Hearest thou not, my daughter? Go not to glean in another field, neither go from hence, but abide here, feast with my maidens. Let thy eyes be on the field that they do reap, and go thou after them. I have not charged the young men that they shall not touch tree. I have charged the young men so that they should not touch thee. And when thou are athirst, go into the vessels and drink of that which the young men have drawn." Then she fell on her face and bowed herself down to the ground and said unto him, "Why have I found grace in thy eyes that thou shouldest take knowledge of me, seeing I am a stranger?" And Boaz answered and said unto her, "It hath fully been shown me all that thou hast done unto my mother-in-law since the death of thy husband, and how hast thou left thy father and thy mother and the land of thy nativity, and thou art come unto the people which thou knewest not heretofore. The Lord recompense thy work, and a full reward be given unto thee of the Lord God of Israel, under whose wings thou art come to trust." Then she said, "Let me find favor." Then she said, "Let me find favor in thy sight, my Lord, for thou hast comforted me, and thou hast spoken friendly unto thy handmaid, for I be not like unto one of thy handmaids." And Boaz said unto her, "At mealtime, come thou hither and eat of the bread, and dip thy morsel in vinegar." And she sat beside the reapers. And he reached her parched corn, and she did eat, and was sufficient and left. And when she was risen up to glean, Boaz commanded his young men, saying, "Let her glean even over the sheaves, and reproach her not, and let fall short, or let fall also some of the handfuls of purpose for her. Leave them, that she may not glean them, and rebuke her not." So basically, what has happened here is she's worked hard, and he's let her take some of the hard work that he knows she's going back to help feed Naomi. She knows what's going to go on. Don't approach her. Don't you know, give her any hard time or anything else. So that's exactly what she's done. So she gleaned in the field until even and beat out all that she had gleaned. And it was about an ephah of barley. And she took it up and went to the city, and her mother-in-law saw what she had gleaned. And she brought forth and gave to her that she had reserved after she was sufficed. And her mother-in-law said unto her, "Where hast thou gleaned today, and where workest thou?" "Blessed be he that did take knowledge of thee." And she showed her mother-in-law with whom she had wrought and said, "The man's name with whom I wrought today is Boaz." And Naomi said unto her daughter-in-law, "Blessed be the Lord who hath not left off his kindness to the living and to the dead." And Naomi said unto her, "The man is near of kin to unto us and one of our kinsmen." And Ruth and the Moabite said, "He said unto me also, thou shalt keep fast by my young men until they have ended all my harvest." And Naomi said unto Ruth, her daughter-in-law, "It is good, my daughter, that thou shalt go out with his handmaids, that they meet thee not in any other field." So she kept fast by the maidens of Boaz and gleaned unto the end of the barley harvest and of the wheat harvest, and dwelt with her mother-in-law. So Naomi is... she's got her mind fixed right here on her daughter-in-law, and Ruth has her eyes fixed on Boaz, and she's working the fields. She's working the harvest, the wheat, the barley, and everything else. She's not working in any other field, just that one, and that's what Boaz asked her to do, and he's told his guys, "Hey, listen, don't mess with her in any way at all." So that's where she's at. Now, Naomi seeks redemption for Ruth. So here we are in chapter 3, and we know everything that's going on. The husbands died, you know, the other husbands died. And so now, here they are, her daughter-in-law and the mother. And of course, the mother's like, I'm too old. I can't, you know, I can't get married. And, you know, she has hope, but here we are, you know, this is how it's going. And she is not being unfaithful. She's being true. She's sticking around and staying with her mother-in-law. So here we go. We are on chapter 3. Then Naomi, her mother-in-law, said unto her, My daughter, shall I not seek rest for thee, that it may be well with thee? And now is not Boaz of our kindred, with whose maidens thou was, behold, the winnoweth barley, behold, the winnoweth barley tonight in the threshing floor. Wash thyself before and anoint thee, and put thy raiment upon thee, and get thee down to the floor. But make not thyself known unto man, until he shall have done eating and drinking. And it shall be, when he lieth down, that thou shalt mark the place where he shall lie, and thou shalt go in, uncover his feet, and lay thee down. And he will tell thee what thou shalt do. And she said unto her, All that thou sayest unto me, I will do. So Naomi's telling her, okay, here, this is how you're going to handle this. This is what you're going to do. And she's going to do exactly as Naomi says. So here we are now. She went on down to the floor and did according to all that her mother-in-law bade her. And when Boaz had eaten and drunk, and his heart was merry, he went to lie down at the end of the heap of corn. And she came softly and uncovered his feet and laid her down. And it came to pass at midnight that the man was afraid and turned himself. And behold, a woman lay at his feet. And he said, Who art thou? And she answered, I am Ruth, thy handmaid. Spread therefore thy skirt over thy handmaid, for thou art a near kinsman. So Boaz here now, we're on verse 10, and we're on chapter 3. Boaz desires to redeem Ruth. And he said, Blessed be thou of the Lord, my daughter, for thou hast shown more kindness in the latter end than at the beginning, inasmuch as thou followest did not young men, whether poor or rich. And now, my daughter, fear not. I will do to thee all that thou requirest. For all the city of my people doeth know that thou art a virtuous woman. And now it is true that I, thy near kinsman, howbeit there is a kinsman nearer than I, tarry this night, and it shall be in the morning, that if he will perform unto thee the part of a kinsman, well, let him do the kinsman's part. But if he will not do the part of a kinsman to thee, then I will do the part of a kinsman to thee. As the Lord liveth, lie down unto morning. And she lay at his feet until morning, and she arose before one could know another, and said, Let it not be known that the woman came into the floor. Also he said, Bring the veil that thou hast upon thee, and hold it. And when she held it, he measured 6 measures of barley and laid it on her, and she went into the city. And when she came to her mother-in-law, she said, Who art thou, my daughter? And she told her all that the man had done to her. And she said, These 6 measures of barley gave he me, for he said to me, Go not empty unto the mother-in-law. Then said she, Sit still, my daughter, until you know how the matter will fall. For the man will not be in rest until he have finished this thing this day. So basically what's happening here is Boaz is making sure he's not stepping on anybody else's toes. He wants Ruth. He He wants her dearly. And she wants to be with him. But following customs, following traditions, following the way that it was required with God and everything looking down, he is doing everything according to the way. He is going to handle this matter the way it's supposed to be handled and the way it was handled back then. Chapter 4, Boaz marries Ruth. Then went Boaz up to the gate and sat down with him there. And behold, the kinsman of whom Boaz spoke came by, unto whom he said, Ho, such a one, turn aside, sit down here. And he turned aside and sat down. He took ten men of the elders of the city and said, Sit ye down here. And they sat down. And he said unto the kinsman, Naomi, that has come out again out of the country of Moab, selleth the parcel of land, which was our brother Elimelech's. I thought to advertise thee, saying, Buy it before the inhabitants and before the elders of my people. If thou wilt redeem it, redeem it. But if thou wilt not redeem it, then tell me, that I may know, for is there none to redeem it besides thee? I am after thee, he said. I will redeem it. Then Boaz, what do thou buyest the field of the hand of Naomi? Thou must buy it also of Ruth, the Moabitess, the wife of the dead, to rise up the name of the dead upon the inheritance. And the kinsman said, I cannot redeem it for myself, lest I mar thy own inheritance. Redeem thou my right to myself, for I cannot redeem it. Now this was the manner in the former time in Israel concerning redeeming and concerning changing. For to confirm all things, a man plucked off his shoe and gave it to his neighbor. And it was a testimony in Israel. Therefore the kinsman said unto Boaz, Buy it for thee. So thou drew it off his shoe. And Boaz said unto the elders and unto all the people, Ye are witnesses this day that I have bought all that was Elimelech's and all that was Chilion's and Mahlon's and the land in the hand of Naomi. Moreover, Ruth, the Moabitess, the wife of Mahlon, I have purchased to be my wife, to raise up the name of the dead upon his inheritance. That is the name of the dead, be not cut off from among his brethren and from the gate of his place. You are witnesses this day. And all the people that were in the gate and the elders said, We are witnesses. The Lord make the woman that has come into thine house like Rachel and like Leah, which two did build the house of Israel, and thou worthily in Ephratah, and be famous in Bethlehem. And let thy house be like the house of Perez, whom Tamar bare unto Judah, of the seed of which the Lord shall give thee this young woman. So they went through this now. He's, you know, they like I said, they have this tradition. Here you go, popping off the shoe. This is what's going on. Everyone, they have to have enough witnesses around. The next kinsman, the next person in line, gave that up. Then it goes to Boaz. So Boaz buys this land, this parcel from Naomi, because her husband had it. And with it, he is taking Ruth. Husband's dead too. So now it's his. Ruth bears a son, Obed. So Boaz took Ruth, and she was his wife, and he went unto her, and the Lord gave her conception, and she bare a son. And the woman said unto Naomi, Blessed be the Lord, which has not left thee this day without a kinsman, that his name may be famous in Israel, and that he shall be thee a restorer of thy life and a nourisher of thy old age. For thy daughter-in-law, which loveth thee, which is better than seven sons, has borne him. And Naomi took the child and laid it in her bosom, and became nurse unto it. Ruth is a great grandmother of David. Now, here we go. We'll get on down. And the women were neighbors, gave it a name, saying, There is a son born to Naomi, and they called his name Obed. He is the father of Jesse, the father of David. And now these are the generations of Phaez. Phaez begat Hernaz. Hernaz begat Ram. Ram begat Amminadab. And Amminadab begat Nahashon. And Nahashon begat Salmon. And Salmon begat Boaz. And Boaz begat Obed. And Obed begat Jesse. And Jesse begat David. Wonderful how that they put in this wonderful book the lineage, and just the Bible is just so grand. The lineage, it's taking you right through. Hey, this person bore this son, this person bore this son, this person bore this son, this person bore this son. These are the fathers, this is the lineage. Okay, it's absolutely fantastic. And her daughter-in-law ends up saving her, the land, and everything. I mean, how awesome was that? It's a wonderful book of hope. It's a wonderful book of truth, and testifies to the kindness and the love that really mankind should have, and women. I mean, everyone knew she was a virtuous woman. She didn't, you know, she wasn't out playing around or doing anything else. No. This is a woman that God definitely had touched, had made an example of, and rewarded because of her truth and honesty and faithfulness and everything else. What a wonderful, wonderful book. Well, I'll tell you what, now we are getting on, and we have so many great books. Kings is an excellent, excellent one, but we're going to jump ahead this time. So, we are going to get into, here we go. Here we go. I think is what we'll do is we're going to jump on over, and I do love the book of John. And I'm tossed up right now in between John, and I'm tossed up in between Ezekiel, because I just, both of those books just rock, you know. I mean, but I'll tell you what, why don't we do John, because I love going through and reading it. This one's going to take us a little while. It's not short like, you know, Ruth is, but Ruth's an important book, okay? Ruth is an important book. It's, you know, and I think it's an absolute wonderful book. And it leads on up unto David in the end, which is fantastic. And we're going to be covering all these things. But we're going to skip on over. Let's go New Testament, page 1179, King James Version, study Bible. And we're going to get into John and everything that's going on, because this is going to be absolute fun. And I think that you guys are going to love it. And understand, the Bible is open to interpretation. So, and the names are really hard for me. I'm partial dyslexic. So, but I love reading it. I understand it when I read it, but trying to say it is a whole different ballgame for me. So I apologize if I don't say names or places correctly. I really struggle with that. Always have all my life. But I don't have to look at any of your faces, so I'm not going to be afraid, and I'm just going to do it. Anyway, here we go. We're going to get into chapter 1, page 1179. Book of John, John 1. And here we go. The deity of Christ. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. And here we go. The pre-incarnate work of Christ. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. That's a powerful statement. And it has so many different meanings to it. You know, Christ is the light. God is the light. It's life. And darkness, well, we know what that is. Darkness is where evil things go to die. So darkness is the evil. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehendeth it not. Evil's never going to understand God. It's impossible. There was a man sent from God, whose name was John. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. So basically, John is a messenger, a very important messenger. He is paving the way before Christ. He's the announcer. Hey, I'm telling you. He knows everything about him, yet has not seen him. But he knows everything about him. So here we go. Here we go. The rejection of Christ. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. And he came unto his own, and his own received him not. Basically, this is where I like to say, my brother and I were talking about this, and we were talking about, if you go back to Constantine, and where everything was put together, the writings were there, but nothing was kind of organized or anything or decided what's going into the Bible, and they canonized it. That's, you know, here we go. We're going to do this, and decided what was going to be put in, what wasn't going to be put in. But as we were talking about this, the Jews missed the boat on this. And they did. And I don't mean it in a bad way. Please don't take it that way at all. But they did. Because he was the king of the Jews, and they crucified him. And they really missed the boat, because the Lord and Savior came to save this world, to redeem us, save us from our sins, even though it had to be. It had to be this way. But we have to wait till the second coming. And the world will surely know. But they kind of missed it here. And, you know, it was the rejection of Christ. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him. And the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. Yeah, they missed the boat. So here we are. John, page 1179, verse 12. But as many as received him, to them he gave power to become the sons of God, to become the Son of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. Those true believers who believe that Christ came here, he was the Son of God, he came here with a purpose to save us from our own sins. Innocent. Completely innocent. Did not sin. And we crucified him. And God didn't have mercy on him at that point. He had to bear the full brunt. And he was in human form. And he was crucified. And 3 days later rose. And he did it for us. So the incarnation of Christ. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, and the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. John bears witness of him and cried, saying, this was he of whom I spoke, that cometh after me, preferred before me, for he was before me. That's important to know, you know. I mean, John is telling you that even before John, he was already here. This is from the beginning. It's always God's son. Before the earth was made. And this goes back, and you could go back to Psalms 2:7. You could go back to Galatians 1:19. You could go anywhere you want in different areas of the Bible, but even back into Genesis, and you will see the existence of Christ. If you read it. Interpretation, like I said, the Bible is open to interpretation. And of his fullness have we all received, and grace for grace. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. No man hath seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared him. And this is the record of John, when the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, "Who art thou?" And he confessed and denied not, but confessed, "I am not the Christ." And they asked him, "What then art thou? Elias?" And he said, "I am not." "Art thou a prophet?" And he answered, "No." And they said unto him, "Who art thou, that we may give an answer to them that sent us? What sayest thou of thyself?" He said, "I am the voice of the one crying in the wilderness, make straight the way of the Lord. As said the prophet Esaias, and they which were sent were of the Pharisees. And they asked him and said unto him, Why baptizest thou then, if thou not be that Christ, nor Elias, neither that prophet? John answered them, saying, I baptize with water, but there standeth one among you whom ye know not. He it is who is coming after me, is preferred before me, whose shoes latchet I am not worthy to unloose. These things were done in Bethabara and beyond Jordan, where John was baptizing." John was baptizing people, and they're like, "What gives you the right? Who do you think you are that you have the right to do this?" And John said, "Wait a minute here. I am doing this because I know who is coming. It is he who is coming after me and preferred before me, whose shoe latchet I am not worthy to unloose." The next day, John seeth Jesus coming unto him and saith, "Behold, the Lamb of God, which take away the sin of the world. He is whom I said, after me cometh a man which preferred before me, for he was before me, and I knew him not. But that he should be made manifest to Israel, therefore I am coming, baptizing with water." So he's answering their question. He's answering. He's in the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Ghost. Christ, God, and the Holy Spirit, all together, the Trinity. Here we go. John's doing it. And he says, "I knew him not, but he should be made manifest to Israel. Therefore, I am come, baptizing with water." I mean, it's so cool when I see this, and I am in so in awe of how God just works. It's so deep, and it's just like, wow. And all these things, you know, I mean, we can't look a day ahead of us, and we're trying to figure stuff out. Can you imagine over the course of time, he had it all worked out? No problem. For him, it's not a problem. God is outside of time, space, and matter. He can do anything. His powers are boundless. That's just all there is to it. And here we go. Now we're gonna move on. I just love reading that part. This is fantastic stuff. And John bore record saying, I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and it abode upon him. And I knew him not, but he that sent me to baptize with water, the same said unto me, upon whom thou shalt see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, the same is he which baptizeth with the Holy Ghost. And I saw, and I bore record, that is, this is the Son of God, John giving his testimony. And you see that again, Psalms 2:7, Luke 1:3-5. I mean, that's why I love a study Bible. You can go back and you can read the other verses and the other things that are going on in the chapters and the verses. Again, the next day, after John stood, and two of his disciples, John was there, and looking upon Jesus, he walked and said, Behold, the Lamb of God. And the two disciples heard him speak, and they followed Jesus. Then Jesus turned and saw them following, and he said unto them, What seek thee? And they said unto him, Rabbi, which is to say, and being interpreted, Master, where dwellest thou? And he said to him, Come and see. And they came and saw where he dwelt. And he abode with them that day, for it was about the 10th hour. And of the two which heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. The first findeth his own brother Simon and said unto him, We have found the Messiah, which is being interpreted, the Christ. And he brought him to Jesus. And when Jesus beheld him and said, Thou art Simon, the son of Jonah, thou shalt be called Cephas, which is by interpretation a stone. Matt 16:18. So, which is really cool. And we're going to get on up here probably to chapter 2 or move on because I'm running slowly out of time here. The day following, Jesus would go forth into Galilee and find Philip and said unto him, Follow me. Now Philip was of Bethsaida and the city of Andrew and Peter. Philip findeth Nathanael and said unto him, We have found him, of whom Moses in the law and the prophets did write, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. And Nathanael said unto him, Can there any good thing come out of Nazareth? Philip said unto him, Come and see. Jesus saw Nathanael coming to him and said, Behold, an Israelite, indeed, in whom is no guile. Nathanael said unto him, Whence thou knowest me? Jesus answered and said unto him, Before that Philip called thee, when thou wast under the fig tree, I saw thee. And Nathanael answered and said to him, Rabbi, thou art the Son of God. Thou art the King of Israel. So we are now page 1181, and we are in chapter 1. Now we're on verse 50. Jesus answered and said unto him, Because I said unto thee, I saw thee under a fig tree, believest thou? Thou shalt see greater things than these. And he said to him, Verily, verily, I say unto you, hereafter ye shall see heaven open, and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man. Think about that. That's crazy. That's wonderful. I mean, it is just wonderfully fantastic. Now we're going to get into, and really, you know, everyone's saying, okay, what is the first great miracle? Do you not think that was a miracle there in itself? And yet we're going to see Christ changes water into wine in chapter 2. So a lot, there's so much interpretation, like I said, that can be taken from the Bible. I see that he already knew people and already told them who you are and everything like that. And how could he possibly know that? To me, that's a miracle already. I think that's fantastic. So here we go. We're on chapter 2. Christ changes water to wine. And on the third day there was a marriage in Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. And both Jesus was called and his disciples to the marriage. And when they wanted wine, the mother of Jesus said unto him, They have no wine. And Jesus said unto her, Woman, what have I to do with thee? My hour is not yet come. His mother said unto the servants, Whatsoever he saith unto you, do it. And there were set And there were six water pots of stone, after a manner of purifying of the Jews, containing two or three firkins apiece. Jesus said unto them, Fill the water pots with water. And they filled them up to the brim. And he said to them, Draw out now, and bear unto the governor of the feast. And they bear it. And when the ruler of the feast had tasted the water that was made wine, he knew not whence it was. But his servants, which drew the water, knew. And the governor of the feast called the bridegroom, and said unto him, Every man at the beginning doeth set forth good wine, and when men have well drunk, then that which is worse. But thou hast kept the good wine until now. This beginning of miracles did Jesus in Cana of Galilee, and manifested forth his glory, and his disciples believed on him. After this, he went down to Capernaum, he and his mother and his brethren and his disciples, and they continued there not many days. And the Jews' Passover was at hand, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem and found in the temple who sold oxen and sheep and doves and changers of money sitting. So he's basically went right into this temple, and he's going in there, and he's realizing, and this is where Christ cleanses the temple. Okay? He's in God's house. This is God. Christ is God. God is Christ. The Holy Spirit, God, and Christ. Okay? Three in one. And when he had made a scourge of the small cords, he drove them all out of the temple, and the sheep and the oxen, and poured out the changers' money, and overthrew the tables. And he said to them that sold doves, Take these things hence. Make not my Father's house a house of merchandise. Basically, what are you doing? This is a church. This is a temple to God. And you're buying and selling? You're merchandising it? What are you doing? And his disciples remembered it, that it was written, The zeal of thy house hath eaten me up. Then answered the Jews and said unto him, What sign showest thou unto us, seeing that thou hast done these things? Jesus answered and said unto him, Destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up. Then said the Jews, 46 years was this temple in building, and thou wilt rear it up in 3 days? But he's not speaking of the temple itself. He's talking about himself. He is God. He is Christ. He is the Holy Spirit. And they don't know this yet, that he's projecting. When I am crucified, I will show you what right I have to do this, because this is my temple. It might have taken you, you know, God knows, 6 years in building this temple. But you're not going to build a temple and then sit here and desecrate it. And in 3 days, I will build it back on up. I'm God. I'm Christ. And you will realize that eventually. So, but he spoke of the temple of his body. When, therefore, he was risen from the dead, his disciples remembered that he had said this unto them, and they believed the scripture and the word which Jesus had said. Now when he was in Jerusalem at the Passover, in the feast day, many believed in his name when they saw the miracles of which he did. But Jesus did not commit himself unto them, because he knew all men and needed not that any should testify of man, for he knew what was in man. You know, he is there to present himself to the people and say, look, here you go. As John said earlier, I'm the way, I'm the word, I'm the truth. He's already done a couple miracles. The wine, they like to say it's the first. I think it's the you know, from my interpretation of it, and like I said, scripture, and this is why it's good to go to church, and it's good to talk to pastors, it's good to talk to priests, and everything, because it can help you decipher through a lot of this stuff, which we can't. We're just reading on here, you know? But the cool thing about it is Jesus is telling them, listen, what are you doing? And he already knows their thoughts. He already knows everything going through their minds. They're angry. He's done, picked up a cord and drove them all out of the temple. Okay? And I think it's symbolic too. He made a cord of a scourge of three small cords and drove them all on out. I love the numerology that goes through the Bible in a lot of things. Could have just said he made a cord and chased them all on out. But no, he made a scourge of small cords. He drove them all out of the temple and the sheep and the oxen and poured out the changers' money and overthrew the tables. God is here in the flesh. It's his son, his one and only son. Jesus is going to experience proof of his existence, his truth, his life, his everything. And he's going to go through these things. He's made them upset, made them mad. Okay? These people, they've went and desecrated his church. And he's let them have it. Listen, do not do this. Now, Christ witnessed to Nicodemus. And we're going to get on to that one next time. So that'll be chapter 3. And that's going to be, like I said, we're in the book of John. We're on 1182, page 1182, chapter 3. And we're going to start off with Christ's witnesses to Nicodemus. So we're going to do that. And we're going to put this down. And, of course, my pen's going to die. But now we're getting into the best parts. Listen, best parts of the Bible for me definitely is hearing what Christ says when he talks. I mean, there's so many good books in the Bible, in the Old and the New Testament, but I'll tell you what, it's actually hearing God speak and seeing it, and I think that's just the coolest. If that doesn't bring a smile to your face, if that doesn't give you some kind of hope, and just know that, you know, anything that bad that's happened in your life, we can overcome it all, you know? We can overcome it all together. And as you're going to see as we go on in this book, it's simple. No one's going to ask for your credit card. No one's going to ask for your checkbook. No one's going to ask for any of that stuff. This is a very, very wonderful offering. It's a free gift. And, you know, like I said, I'm no pastor. I'm not a preacher. I'm not a priest. I'm not a deacon. I'm not anyone. I just take the time to read it, and we'll read it with you. And how you interpret it might be way different than the way that I do. Don't let that discourage you. You know, you just keep reading and reading and reading, and then what you can't understand, if you decide to peek into a church, which hopefully you will do, you know, I don't care which church you go to. You know, that's strictly up to you. Whatever makes you comfortable. The whole goal here isn't, okay, I'm Methodist, I'm Lutheran, I'm Baptist, I'm Catholic, you know, Adventist, I'm whatever. I don't care, because guess what? All of them believe in Christ God. Everyone, without dispute, all of them do. So wherever you go, wherever makes you comfortable in your soul, in your spirit, go. You can always learn more and more. But I found that it brings a lot of peace. And coming from a guy that has so much heartache and different things that go on in life, a mind that doesn't work great, I found that this does bring a little bit of peace to me, a lot of peace. to help me get through day by day. I hope it does you too. At least it's an opportunity to try something different. I've been on every medication you can imagine. I wasn't getting answers. I wasn't getting answers. I wasn't getting answers. And, you know, kind of felt like I was left by myself and having to figure this out. This was the only answer that I can come up with that makes it manageable. And hopefully it can for you too. So, you know what? If you want to explore it, I'm so blessed to have you around here to do that with. Let's do it. Let's do it together. There's no judgment here. None. So, and just remember, we have a call-in number. I'm always open. I'm always listening. So that's 803-866-1667. And we can go over that stuff next week. And that will be on Sunday, and I apologize for that, but I've been kind of under the weather here for the last month, so I've been kind of hit and miss. But anyway, we will cover that, and next time, here we go. We're in the book of John, and we know right where we're at, and man, what a wonderful, wonderful book it is. So until then, I hope you guys have a very blessed week, and be good to each other. That's all I can tell you. This is a cruel world, and we've made it that way, and nobody cares. And it's just, but I can tell you that God cares. God cares. So go with that and just know that there's a tomorrow, and there's a tomorrow because of God today and yesterday and tomorrow. He never changes. So God bless, folks. You take care, and thank you for tuning in to Life Walk with Christ God.